Welcome to our special edition of Health and Wealth In-Depth program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. We are speaking with Dr. Kyle Stalder of Jefferson and Guthrie Center Central Iowa Family Eye Care Clinics. And so, Dr. Stalder, can you just, first of all, just tell us a little bit about what it means to have healthy eyes?
So the way that I would describe healthy eyes would be that it means your eye system is able to capture light and then connect with neurons to translate and deliver messages to the brain as a visual image, which the brain then interprets, and there's not any interference or interruption from an underlying condition.
So then, are there any common eye diseases that people can develop?
I would say here in the Midwest, some of the most common diseases that we see in clinic anyway are macular degeneration. And with that, you have both wet and dry kind. The wet is the kind that has been making headlines more so than the dry, because that is the kind that they are doing the injections into the eye for. The dry kind is where we still do the over-the-counter eye vitamins, and there hasn't been maybe as much research put into that or maybe as much movement or development, you know, as far as further treatment-wise with that. Glaucoma is also another very common disease that we see, and so that's where we use the pressure-lowering drops to, you know, kind of control that pressure and help spare what we can spare there. There are also some surgical procedures that can be done if the eye drops are losing their effectiveness there. We also see and are starting to see a lot more diabetes in patients. There again, diabetes is actually the leading cause of blindness in the United States. And so with that obviously comes decreased vision. You can start to get some curving, which that also comes with the wet macular degeneration, curving or, you know, something that we know has been straight all of a sudden has got a bend to it. And then with the diabetes, we've got fluctuating vision. And that's usually the first thing that patients come in saying to us is, hey, things just aren't as clear as they used to be with these glasses, and I just got them, you know, less than a year ago or something to that nature. Cataracts are also another big one, with patients getting some blur or glare at night, and then depending upon the level of severity of that cataract, you know, having surgical intervention there.
And for some of those eye diseases, you kind of talked a little bit about some of the treatments that can happen with some of those. Are any of those that maybe aren't treatable or curable that you mentioned?
I would say that dry macular degeneration isn't necessarily fully treatable yet. We can significantly slow the process, but we've not figured out how to stop that. Wet macular degeneration with the injections coming into play, I would say there's a better chance of stopping that, but that doesn't always mean that we've got a better visual outcome from the wet macular versus the dry macular. And then obviously the cataracts, if there's something else going on there that would prevent a patient from having surgery at some point, that may be not treatable. In third world and worldwide, cataracts is still the leading cause of blindness because of the third world scenarios where they don't have access to the surgery. And then as far as the diabetes, a lot of that, I don't want to put this on the patient, but a lot of it is on the patient. If they've got really good blood sugar control, there is a significant less likelihood that they're going to develop retinal problems from that. If their blood sugar is kind of all over the board, that typically leads to, you know, at least some vision impact, and that is, in my mind, curable yet not curable if the patients aren't taking care of their blood sugar like they should.
We'll be back with more of our program here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
People always say that the best things in life are free. The Raccoon Valley Radio Community Calendar is a free on-air service for nonprofit clubs and organizations. This is a free way for information on your activities and events to reach thousands of listeners. All you have to do to get your event on the air is to email us, community@raccoonvalleyradio.com, or click on the Contact Us link at raccoonvalleyradio.com. The Raccoon Valley Radio Community Calendar, a free way to get the word out. From the one to count on for today's news and local information, the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
Welcome back to our special edition of Health and Wealth In-Depth program. We are continuing our conversation now with Dr. Kyle Stalder, who is an optometrist with Jefferson and Guthrie Center Central Iowa Family Eye Care Clinics. And so, Dr. Stalder, could we just start off by this next section talking to us a little bit about how early in life should someone start having an eye exam, and then how often should people continuously have an eye exam?
Optometric Association, the American Optometric Association, says that an eye exam should happen within the first year of life, and obviously we're looking for anything that's grossly wrong and any kind of prescription that is significant that we need to address. Then the next checkup usually comes at about 3 years old, and once three-year-old hits, since we've initiated three-year-old preschool in our school district anyway, there's a lot of learning that happens, and certainly there's at least 50% of learning that happens visually, and depending upon the patient, up to 80%. Once we hit that three-year-old threshold, we usually recommend going once a year throughout the school ages. Once we're past school ages, assuming that there's no ocular disease that we're watching and assuming also that the patient is not a contact lens wearer, we usually suggest going every other year until they're about Medicare age, and then we start following them yearly again. Again, obviously, if there is something medically that we're watching, we follow them a lot closer than that, at least yearly, sometimes 6 months, sometimes every 3 months.
Switching gears just slightly here, Dr. Stalder, I know people have maybe heard 20/20 vision quite often, or even 20/10 vision. Can you explain what the differences are between the two of 20/20 and 20/10 vision?
What 20/20 vision means is that a patient can see at 20 feet what an average patient can also see at 20 feet. And so what 20/10 means is that a patient can see at 20 feet what the average patient can see at 10 feet. So 20/10 vision is actually better than 20/20 vision.
All right, so now could you please explain to us if there's any eye diseases that can maybe happen to babies at birth?
Some of the common diseases that we look for are congenital cataracts, retinoblastoma, amblyopia, eye turns or misalignment, retinopathy of prematurity, tearing or what's called epiphora, which is a tear duct that doesn't fully open.
Could you please go into some more depth about some of the more common ones that are found at babies at birth with their eye diseases?
So congenital cataract would be development of a cataract when a patient is born, and that obviously would significantly limit that patient's vision. A lot of times would go hand in hand with what's called amblyopia, which is what we would determine or term a lazy eye. That often gets confused, lazy eye, with a turned eye. So a turned eye is actually called strabismus. A lazy eye would actually be the amblyopia. And what that means is there is a two-line or larger discrepancy between the better of the two seeing eyes versus the poorer of the two seeing eyes.
And kind of going along with the 20/20 and 20/10 vision, Dr. Stalder, can you tell us what's the difference between people who are near and farsighted?
So a patient who is nearsighted, what that actually means is they can see to some degree up close, but their distance vision is not usually very good. And a patient who is farsighted typically has pretty good distance vision, but may struggle up close or may become blurred after extended amount of use at near or at the computer.
So then, Dr. Stalder, I know that sometimes with medical side for folks and health, sometimes it's driven by family history, like chronic illnesses, those kinds of things. Does that also relate to eye diseases then?
Absolutely. Genetics play a very large part in eye conditions as well. This is particularly the case in looking at glaucoma and in looking at macular degeneration. And then there are obviously genetically driven diseases that are maybe a recessive trait, but if a patient is positive for that recessive trait, that typically gets expressed on down their lineage as well.
So what does it mean if someone has or needs bifocals or trifocals, and can people drive if they suffer from something like that?
Typically, if people need bifocals, what that means is that the patient is no longer able to accommodate, which what that is the lens of the eye doesn't get thicker, and the zonules don't loosen, which zonules are similar to collagen, so like our ear or our nose, and then reading becomes a challenge. Trifocals come into play if a patient is also then struggling at arm's length distance, and some of the common tasks that we think of at arm's length distance are, that's usually a very common computer distance, also looking at the grocery shelf or looking at a speedometer in a vehicle. So, yes, they certainly can drive with that. It just depends upon the level of severity of their visual need up close, if they can get that speedometer cleared up, or if they need, you know, if they need some additional help with that.
We'll be back with more of our program here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
Every day, the Raccoon Valley Radio Network delivers today's news and local information, hour-long news magazines at 7 a.m., noon, and 5, plus many news magazines throughout the day. Let's Talk programs in the 9, noon, and 5 o'clock hours every weekday, plus breaking news as it happens, whenever it happens. Find all the stories online at raccoonvalleyradio.com or on our mobile app, and find all the Let's Talk programs as podcasts on Apple or Google Podcasts. The one to count on for today's news and local information whenever and wherever you need is the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
Welcome back to our special edition of Health and Wealth In-Depth program. We are finishing up our conversation now with Dr. Kyle Stalder, who is with Jefferson and Guthrie Center Central Iowa Family Eye Care Clinics. And so, Dr. Stalder, as we enter into our last part of our discussion here today, I want to kick it off by telling us, can anyone with eyesight issues get LASIK eye surgery to correct their issues?
Typically, LASIK can correct for nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism, but it is not typically utilized to correct for what's called presbyopia, which is the need for additional up-close help, reading and or computer distance. There is something out there called monovision, which some patients do utilize, so they'll opt to have one of their eyes corrected to see at the distance and the other eye corrected to see up close. What I would recommend is that if patients are going to consider that option, they at least have a contact lens trial of that. Even if they're not a contact lens wearer, I like to trial that to know if the patient is going to be able to tolerate that as a somewhat permanent vision solution. Obviously, contact lenses are not a permanent solution. Before they choose to do LASIK, they can get an idea if they can handle that or not. And if not, then they at least know that going into it and kind of what to expect from there then.
Well, can you tell us, Dr. Stalder, also if there's any advantages of having the LASIK eye surgery or cataract surgery to correct vision issues?
So a positive for having LASIK is we ultimately hope that we don't need correction for a while anyway at the distance. Maybe a little bit of a drawback to that is you're still probably going to have to address up-close concerns at some point in life, or potentially need to have an enhancement or another surgery after that first initial LASIK surgery. Advantage for cataract surgery, obviously we get a clearer new lens to look through, so that should enhance the vision. Maybe a little bit of a drawback to that is we may still have to do a prescription to get that vision really dialed in, or not in most cases. This actually happens in very, very few cases, but it is still surgery, so there still are risks and complications that go with that. And one of those is that the vision can actually end up worse after surgery than where we started with it.
I know you mentioned some drawbacks or disadvantages maybe with cataract surgery, but is there any other disadvantages you can think of for either LASIK eye or cataract surgery?
One of the things with LASIK as well that patients need to understand is there is a reason that the surgeon recommends to utilize artificial tears frequently right after surgery, and that may continue on even, you know, quite some months following surgery as well. And so ultimately what that ends up is the patients have a dry eye following that laser surgery, and if they don't utilize those drops, sometimes that can present with some blurred vision and even a little bit of painful vision as well.
And finally, Dr. Stalder, please explain if there's any cutting-edge technology in the vision world, or maybe something that just hit the market, or something that maybe is coming up this year or next year that you can tell us about.
So a few of the things that have been utilized is there is digital imaging for assessing the eye health, which that's, again, making it a lot more feasible to track eye diseases and make sure that we're controlling them to the best of our abilities. There's also digital lenses out for eyeglasses, and what those are usually utilized for is patients who do have significant screen time throughout the day. They just take a little bit of the extra strain off of the eyes and also have an anti-reflective coating on them to take away some of the glare components coming from screens, and also if we've got fluorescent lights overhead that patients may not even necessarily know that are causing an issue. And then one of the things as far as disease-wise that is being looked at is they are starting to look at stem cell research for treating macular degeneration.
And that's a look at our overall eye health with our guest, Dr. Kyle Stalder, with Jefferson and Guthrie Center, Central Iowa Family Eye Care Clinics, here on the special edition of Health and Wealth In-Depth program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.